Good evening, everyone. Thank you for joining us for the regular meeting of council of September 13, 2018. Meeting is commencing at 7 p.m. Please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Vicki, please call the roll.
Vice President John Pleshnik.
Present.
President Nancy E. Fellows.
Present.
Councilman David M. Fiebig.
Present.
Councilman Christopher Hollum.
Present.
Councilwoman Laura Lenz.
Present.
Councilwoman Janet R. Micah.
Present.
And Councilwoman Laura Pismo.
Present.
Before we start our business this evening, if there is no objection from the council table, I would appreciate taking this time to present Wally Burnett with her resolution that council has provided. I'm asked Governor Mike Tyler and Vice President John Pleshnik to come forward. And Wally, please.
Yes, you are in the right jacket. And I'm going to tell you that. We get up there. May we approach your honor, please?
Yes, you may.
Thank you. Sorry, make the moves.
Madam President, I'm honored to present to I'm honored to present to Council and to the City of Willoughby Hills our past District Governor and resident, Wally Burnett, who was recently recognized with the highest honor that the International Lions Club presents any member, named for its founder, Melvin Jones. And there's no words I could say better than to read your resolution to you, Wally. A resolution, number 2018-13, acknowledging Wally Burnett on receiving the highest honor bestowed upon any Lions member, the Distinguished Melvin Jones Fellowship Award. Whereas Lions Club International Foundation recognizes outstanding individuals by bestowing on them an award that is named for its founder, Melvin Jones. And whereas this award is given to a Lion member who has constantly shown their commitment and dedication to humanitarian services and endeavors in their community and the world. And whereas past District Governor Lion Wally has been a member since 1994 when she joined the Willoughby Hills Lions Club, and then in 2002 she transferred to the North Coast Club. And whereas in her 24 years as a Lion, past District Governor Wally has held several officers' positions in the club and district, club treasurer and club membership chair, club secretary for an impressive 15 years, and will be club secretary again next year. And whereas Wally has served as region chair, district membership chair, district cultural and community activities chair, and in 2013/14 was district governor. And whereas past District Governor Wally has dedicated her life to being a Lion, now therefore be it resolved by the Council of the City of Willoughby Hills, Council of Lakes, State of Ohio, that this council does hereby recognize and commend past District Governor Lion Wally Burnett for her commitment and dedication to humanitarian services and endeavors in her community, and congratulates her on receiving the highest honor bestowed upon any Lions member, the Distinguished Melvin Jones Fellowship Award. Congratulations, Wally. I do have to say a very special thank you to our district governor, current district governor, Mike Tyler, for bringing Wally here. She had no idea. And I do want to note that Mike is also one of the few who's been recognized by the Melvin Jones Fellowship Award, so it's particularly special that as another Willoughby Hills resident, another governor, another Melvin Jones fellow could be here. If you wouldn't mind saying a word on behalf of Lions and our district governor, Wally Burnett.
You know, I've had this lady as a mentor for me. She's been an absolute wonderful humanitarian. She does great things for our Lions, which, by the way, is for any sight ailments, any hearing ailments, and we recently took on pediatric cancer. And I just wanted to let you know, this lady here is such a value to me and to Lions that I can't see doing without her. And what an honor it is for her to be a leader in our area in Lions. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Governors, please approach council and be congratulated.
You asked me this morning, and I like, I don't know. Thank you.
Oh, I'm sorry. Excuse me. Make it home.
There we go.
That's yours. Thank you.
Who is that person?
Thank you very much. Hang on. This is for you. That's for you. One. There you go. That's my friendship bag.
Awesome.
That's my friendship bag.
Oh, thank you. That's so cool. Wow. I love that.
John, thank you. Appreciate your help.
Oh, wow.
Yes, sir. Oh, wow. Oh, you get one of these, too. Hang on.
Oh, well, thank you.
You get one as well. Hang on. You get one. And I guess there are two. Hang on. Yeah, you get one.
All right. Thank you.
That's so good.
Madam President, I just want to say that Wally, I was volunteering with Wally this morning doing vision screenings at Royal View Kindergarten, and she said, Mike Tyler is going to have a Lions meeting at Willoughby Hills City Hall at 7 tonight. It's kind of weird. I said, oh, I don't know. So,
what a great, great way to start our council meeting this evening. Well-deserved, Wally. First order of business is the disposition of the journal.
Madam President.
Councilman Phoebe.
Move the council approve the minutes of regular council meeting of July 12, 2018.
Second.
Did you say both or just 12?
I did just say, but I'd be glad to amend that to say both regular council minutes of June 28, 2018 and July 12, 2018.
Second.
I have a motion from Councilman Phoebe and a second from Vice President Pleshnik to approve the minutes of the regular council meeting of June 28, 2018 and July 12, 2018. Is there any discussion on the motion?
Madam President, I will approve the minutes, although I was not present on the July 12th, but I'll approve them based on the audio.
Thank you. Vicki?
Pleshnik.
Yes.
Fellows.
Yes.
Phoebe.
Yes.
Hallam.
Yes.
Lenz.
Yes.
Micah.
Yes.
Pismo.
Yes. The minutes of both the June 28th and July 12th meetings have been approved. The next is the mayor's report. Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. This Saturday we have Touch Your Truck in our community, and it's put on by the fire department, the service department, and the police department. It's an opportunity for everybody to come view the trucks that service us, the community, and other communities that come and participate. It's from 10 to 2, and it's probably been going on since 2011, and it's really a unique show. Hopefully, we get the helicopter to land here right in front, and that's one of the highlights of the day. So 10 to 2, and that's this Saturday. The Salvation Army is opening up at the shop at Willoughby Hills, and they have a ribbon-cutting ceremony this Saturday at 8:45. The store opens at 9 o'clock. They're going to have some dignitaries from the Salvation Army there, and if you can attend, please go. The service department is finishing the roads on Eddy Road. The pavement redoing the pavement. They're also, they started on Canterbury Road, and Canterbury Road happens to be a concrete street, so they cut certain portions out and fill with asphalt to make a clean cut, and it'll be real nice and sealed. Specialized Construction, they mobilized on Wednesday. They are doing the recycling of the asphalt, and they finished Jenny Lane today. They're starting on Sombrack Drive. Then they'll do the other three streets that we have in that order. Basically, Bates Lane, Red Fox Pass, and then Keneally Drive. So what they do is they first go over, they grind 4 to 6 inches off, they recycle it so it's got a good base. The base will be, it's very smooth now, but it's just a base. It'll stay for about 10 days, and then they'll resurface it with an inch and a half of fresh asphalt. Tonight, I would request an executive session before legislation to discuss a confidential proposal from a business and a personnel issue. That's all I have.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Any questions for the mayor this evening?
Madam President?
Yes.
Can I add that the Salvation Army has offered coffee and donuts at 9 o'clock, so I think that's a good reason to get out there, and hot dogs around noon, so it's always good to get out there. But I did seriously want to say to please stop in and support them. The Salvation Army does good work in the community. It's great to have that space filled, and it's a good fit for that area. So while maybe, you know, we have busy lives and all that, they're open 9 to 9 on this Saturday. So just as a resident, if you have an opportunity, whether it is Saturday or any time, please stop in and say welcome to Willoughby Hills and welcome them to the community, because I think they'll be a valuable asset down to that end of town, which has struggled for so long. Thanks.
Thank you, Mayor. The next is our Finance Director's Report, Mr. Brukacek.
Resolution number 16 is on the agenda tonight, accepting the rates as determined by the County Budget Commission for the the property tax rates for the 2019 year. It's based on values as of January 1st, 2018, and the Budget Commission's requested that the rates be adopted and returned to the Budget Commission by October the 2nd. So I request that either this resolution be adopted tonight or at the next council meeting. And then the only other thing I have is I've had discussions with Council President Fellows, and I guess we'll come up on a new business for some guidance on how to handle some legal bills.
Any questions for the Finance Director? Frank, so I do have a question concerning the tax rate. So with the recent property reevaluation by the county, has the total value of property in the city gone up?
My understanding is it has gone up. I don't have a final figure from the
county
yet.
So, and if that's true, then would we be getting more revenue for the city?
Yes, we will. On all of our millage, except for the fire levy, which is affected by House Bill 920.
And then the other point of business that Mr. Brukacek and I have communicated on. So we had two invoices from Mr. Greg Beck's firm from the lawsuits. The first invoice takes ordinance 2018-22 above the appropriation of $10,000. So with the last invoice, this would take us over this of $726.25. So the question would be for council to amend this ordinance to increase that rate. So that's something we can discuss and then bring back to the next council meeting to amend this ordinance. Am I saying it correct? Okay. And then the second one was for the other invoice that came in, and that is relative to ordinance number 2018-39. And this ordinance does not have a cap on it, but identifies that compensation will be at an hourly rate of $155. And Mr. Berkachek had encumbered $10,000 for that. We're not at that point of yet reaching the $10,000 that he needed to encumber for these bills. But I would watch what these bills come in, and then since you've encumbered that, then you would, as the finance director, you would encumber more if necessary.
In both cases. In that case, I would simply increase the purchase order based on the general legal appropriation.
Okay.
The other ordinance is, put a $10,000 cap, and so that's why I brought that forward. And then for both bills, I was looking for someone to review and approve the bills for payment.
So I have signed the one, but not the other yet. So
yeah, the second bill we can pay against existing purchase order, and the first bill actually can be paid up to $10,000. We just leave that $700 balance on it.
Okay, and then we'll have a discussion about how much to raise it, and then Vicki can put that as an amendment, and then we can follow through with that in the next council meeting. Questions, Councilwoman Micah? She's looking at me like, I have a question.
I was going to ask, do you think it would be appropriate to have a rules committee to consider not only those but the property tax?
Well, we would have rules. I'll have rules for the next meeting.
Okay.
But property tax, Frank can.
The property tax, we had this is the second step in the tax budget process. The property tax rate, first of all, has been unchanged at 7. It's been at 7.3 mils for a number of years. So that the millage has not changed. This is something that we do every year at this time. And the 7.3 mils is based, is based upon the tax budget that we discussed and you adopted back in July. So it's been pretty thoroughly discussed. And if you go back and look at the tax budget memo, it did mention that the tax budget was based upon anticipating, levying the 7.3 mils. At this point, we're pretty much locked into this. It really, with the mechanics of the way property taxes are set statewide, at this point, this rate's pretty much locked in.
So, Mr. Berkachek, does this mean that the period of time that a property owner would have to appeal the valuation on their home, has that passed also?
I don't know. I would have to check with the county.
Is that tied into this?
No.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
I mean, this, this works with the values that the county auditor establishes. In Ohio, the county auditor is responsible for setting the fair market value of all property in the county, and that's done once every 6 years. And in that 6 year cycle, in the middle of the cycle, in the beginning of the cycle, the county auditor is responsible for doing a full appraisal where they're supposed to come out and observe the property and compare it to market and things like that and establish its fair market value. And that's what went on this last summer, and the notices have gone out. And then after 3 years, then the middle of the cycle, then the county auditors then do they do a review of property values based upon trends in the market. It's not a full-blown reappraisal, but it's more of a trend. It's based on more of a trend analysis of where the market is going, and they'll make adjustments to property values after 3 years, up or down. And then when the six-year cycle is over, it starts over again. And then each year in that six-year cycle, all city governments, each year will adopt a tax budget for the following year, based upon those values, and the values then determine how much revenue is generated by the property tax rates. The 7.3 mils is comprised of what they call inside millage, which is, in the state of Ohio, overlapping taxing districts can levy a total of 10 mils of property tax without a vote of the people on a piece of property. Overlapping tax is basically is any government that's entitled to levy property tax on a piece of property. Generally, it's the city. For most residential properties, it's generally the city, the county, and the school district. And then in addition to that inside millage, it's something, the inside millage, the 10 mills was historically divided up. And basically each entity every year levies their share of the inside millage. It can't be challenged. If a entity one year would decide to not levy a portion of its inside millage, one of the other taxing districts could then take it. And once they take it, it's gone forever. And that's why all the overlapping taxing districts always levy the inside millage. And then we have charter millage, and then we have the levy for the fire department. And it should be noted that levy next year is the last year of that levy. 2019 will be the last year for it, so it would have to be renewed in 2019, or it would go off the books. That is a five-year levy. You know, the charter millage and the inside millage are permanent.
Thank you.
Any other questions for the finance director this evening? Thank you, Frank. The next is our city engineer's report. Mr. DeFranco.
Thank you, Madam President. The windows in this room are in the process of being replaced. The two windows directly behind council have already been replaced, and the three on the south wall will be replaced shortly. The team working on the stream restoration project at the School of Innovation between I-271 and Lamplight will be making a presentation to the Planning Commission a week from today at the Planning Commission meeting on September 20th. Everyone is welcome to attend. I find it pretty interesting, and these people are passionate about what they do. They're doing some really interesting things to restore the stream, reduce some flooding, erosion, as well as help the environment, both plants and, you know, little critters. So again, that's next Thursday at 7 o'clock. We are continuing to work on the Dodd Road Bank Stabilization Project. The bank along the river is collapsing. So we just received a report from the consultant, KS Associates, about a week ago. We're in the process of reviewing that. We're also working with Mark Grubis on a couple projects in the service department. One is removing some invasive vegetation in a couple ditches. The vegetation is called Phragmites, and it just grows wild and clogs the ditches. So we're planning to remove some vegetation in the ditch on Fowler, as well as the ditch on Somrack. We received complaints from residents in those areas about some flooding. So we did obtain quotes from three firms that are trained in this pesticide application. And it's about $1,500, $1,600. They'll do a spraying in the fall and then again in the spring. And then our service department will go in and physically remove the dead material. We're also working with Mark on adding a pump to a manhole at Stratford Place. About 4 or 5 years ago, we installed a backwater valve to prevent flooding of the basements. The backwater valve blocks water from backing up from the city system during heavy rains. The problem is it also blocks water from leaving the system. So during heavy rains, our service department needs to go out and pump that manhole with our truck. And during a heavy rain, it takes them about 4 hours of time. So we'd like to put a permanent pump in this manhole, which will automatically turn on and discharge further downstream in the system. It's my understanding the total project is about $40,000, and it's in the city budget. We submitted the financial data. It's my understanding the construction PO has been approved, but we're still waiting for the engineering purchase order. So I can answer any questions if there are any, so we can get that going. And that completes my report.
Thank you, Pete. Any questions for the engineer this evening? Mr. Fiebig?
Thank you, Madam President. The $40,000 was the cost of doing the pump itself, right? And your fee, or the engineering fee and design, was around six or so, seven?
Something like that, yeah.
So it's close to that threshold of $50,000 where we go out to bid, but do you recommend that we go out to bid, or do we have a competent contractor at that $40,000? Did you get at least a few quotes on the $40,000?
Yeah, we did get three quotes, so we are very comfortable with it. We actually have a lot of contingency, and we feel our number's conservative. And we don't foresee any unforeseen conditions.
I know that we do have, when we get these heavy rains, our service crews out there, and they do that. There's some other spots in the city that they have to address because of this heavy flooding. So that'll also alleviate our crews and the time that they spend on that.
Correct.
All right. And Mr. Berkachek, we do have the funds in our budget to handle this type of thing, because we planned ahead for some type of contingency like this, right? Okay, thank you.
Any other questions for the engineer? So, Pete, I have a couple. Or in Frank, too. So, offhand, Frank, do you know what fund it's coming out of?
It's coming out of the sewer fund.
The sewer fund? Mm-hmm. Okay. And then, Pete, so your email from September 6th said that it was a conservative estimate of a little over $40,000, plus with the $6,000, we're at $46,000. It's pretty close to $50,000. My question to follow up with the Councilman Fiebig is, would it be prudent to go out for bid because we're so close to the $50,000 mark? That's something that Council's going to need to consider. Is there any other form of finance for this? Because I have minutes from February 25th council meeting where you indicated that a backup valve has been installed. Hopefully this will resolve the problem. And of course, it has not. And low-interest EPA loans may be available to take care of the issue if it's not solved.
I don't recall.
Okay, so it's from the minutes from the council meeting.
Okay.
So is there any possibility to get funding from anywhere else?
Not that I'm aware of, no.
And so Stratford Place also is a independent community in the city, and they have a homeowners association. Is there any relief that could be given toward the city in terms of their facility having this? I mean, when you say it's going to be pumped up to higher into the stream, does that mean it's going to Euclid, or is it going backwards?
Towards Euclid. So we would pump into a manhole downstream on Chardon, closer to Giant Eagle, which is downstream of this connection point.
For that to go to Euclid?
Yeah.
This doesn't really solve the problem at the end of that interceptor, though, does it? In the big picture.
Depends what you consider solved.
I pulled minutes from a lot of the other meetings because we've known since the project's been completed that there have been problems behind Giant Eagle, which is upstream of Stratford. Stratford was built on a marsh. I think at the time CT consultants had put a pretty aggressive plan together, which was extremely costly to do something behind Giant Eagle with a retention pond and such, as I recall. So, I mean, I'm not that I'm saying this shouldn't be done, but what more is going to come after, or won't we know until this is done?
Well, when we took over for CT, I was aware of two issues. One was on Bishop Road, and one was at Stratford Place, where they were experiencing basement flooding. So we installed backwater valves at those two locations. I have not heard of any basement flooding since then. So, you know, some people consider that solved. The only issue with Stratford Place is it does require our crews to pump it out during heavy rains. So,
okay. Okay, so to your knowledge, no other financial help?
Correct.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. The next order of business are committee reports. Does anybody have anything to speak to about committees?
Madam President, the Planning and Zoning continues to meet on the off Thursdays. I'm the representative for that commission on issues that revolve around building and housing in our city and also zoning. So we routinely do things like, you know, approve a pole barn or an addition on a house or things like signs. For example, Sun Plum has changed its name to Produce Place, so we approved the signs. Salvation Army came to us and we approved the sign that will go up in the front of their building. And things like sheds also have been routinely approved by us, by this body. There's like five volunteers that serve as officers, and the mayor and myself. What we've discussed in that body here over the last few meetings was to streamline that process for routine things like sheds or like additions onto a home that really conform with all of our existing architectural wants and needs, and to make the process streamlined for the residents, to make it less costly so they don't have to print up eight different sets of plans for all of the members of that body, and also to make it easier for our resident to just simply, you know, come in. They would meet with our city engineer is the zoning person. He's reviewing all these plans. He sits on the architectural board of review. We're going to consider just streamlining that process for those routine things like the sheds and the additions and things like that. So that's the latest that we're talking about. It's been about three different meetings that we've had that discussion. And so I think this next upcoming meeting, we may even make a motion on that. I also asked for, and the mayor is looking for, the original plan that we hand out to the residents, saying here are the things that a residential architecture is looking for, here are the things that commercial architecture is looking for, here are some of the zoning codes and things like that. So we would update that as well. So that's what's going on right now at the Planning and Zoning Commission.
So do we have any questions for Councilman Fiebig?
Madam President, under our charter, all plans have to be submitted to the Architectural Board of Review, and no plan shall be approved without the affirmative vote of a majority of the entire board. So I don't think that plan is kosher under our charter. It's not to say it's a bad plan, but it's not something that our charter allows at this time. So that's the only concern I would have about that. Is there have been any discussion about that?
Yes, Madam President. Yes, there was discussion about, you know, how far do you go with that? How routine is routine? And there are things that are being approved that are, you know, like under a certain size. So this is a discussion to be had. And, you know, that's an excellent point to bring up. And, you know, it's not a done deal. We're going to continue to talk about it. But that is one of those things that as the city evolves, this is an example of something that perhaps council would put on a charter amendment and say that we want to delete this line to allow the current state of affairs. Many communities, Orange and there was a whole list of communities that do it that way. They have one set of drawings. It's done electronically, and it lowers the cost for the residents, and the board doesn't need to approve these routine things again and again and again, as long as the architecture's wishes, the board's wishes, which get reviewed constantly. You know, we were talking about at least a quarterly review, and it doesn't take away the ability for the administration, the zoning commissioner, to come to the board and say, I have a question about this, and I'd like to review this before I approve it because of whatever reason. Pete, did I explain that fairly well? Do you have anything to add to that?
No, that was good.
Okay, thanks.
Madam President, well, if the charter is ambiguous or there's an opening in it that is up for interpretation, one thing we can do is legislation. And without legislation, or even like considering how the charter would impact that, or what legislation might be in order to effectuate this plan, I just think that maybe we should have a committee meeting or something to discuss that possible legislative solutions to that, if there are any. But I, right now, like I said, it's it doesn't look to me like just again it's. I'm just hearing about it now. So it doesn't look to me like that would be permitted under a charter, and we'd have to address that issue.
Once again, that meeting is next Thursday at 7 p.m.
Anyone else on committees?
Madam President, just another question for Councilman Fiebig. With respect to the Planning and Zoning Commission, and I'm speaking now as a resident on Bishop Road, I know a lot of us were very concerned when the commission approved cash for plasma business. I mean, where you voted against it, has there been any more consideration on the commission of possibly looking at the issue again, taking another vote? I know that there were members who felt they were somewhat rushed in that vote. I don't think that's a good fit for our community to bring a cash for plasma business into the shops at Willoughby Hills as we're trying to raise the level of our neighborhood, not bring it down. And have you done anything on the Planning and Zoning Commission to try to address that and possibly to block this coming into our community?
Madam President, no, there's been no discussion from the commission members to block what's already been approved. There was, however, some conversations that we've had. The mayor and I have had some discussions, and some residents also have had discussions about how do we address the issue of collecting income tax. If they're getting a gift card, for example, for their time to donate plasma, how does the city collect 2% as an income, and is that a legally allowed thing to do? My understanding is they get away with it. They've been getting away with it. But is there something that we can do to clamp down on that? I'd sure like a law director to look into it.
Okay. Oh, I'm sorry. Go on.
Because Recreation met. Recreation Commission.
Well, good, because that will segue me into my thoughts, too.
Okay, great. So the Recreation Committee met, and I'm the council representative on that committee. Commission. So they have had to cancel some of the upcoming events that were planned that we have had annually for quite some time due to a lack of supporting personnel due to some of the personnel that was eliminated in the budget. So just so those of you know, the craft show will not be taking place. The Halloween party will not be taking place. The quilters have decided they do not want to put their quilt ups because they're concerned about lack of personnel on site, and there's a possibility that the Breakfast with Santa may also be canceled. These are rec events that the volunteers on that commission put together. They raise generally between $10,000 to $15,000, and those funds are used for things like the new bleachers that were just put up, the baseball fields, soccer field improvements to the tennis courts, and baseball fields. And so just want to make residents aware that those events have been canceled at this point, and possibly Breakfast with Santa as well. Thank you.
Any questions for Councilman Hallam on recreation?
Madam Chair, it's actually for the mayor. Where are we with getting a recreation coordinator? Because our budget does have budgeted 29 hours a week for a recreation coordinator, and has since April 30th. So where are we with that?
There was one of the things I wanted to talk to you about in the executive session. So I'm going to propose a hire, and you have to confirm it. So I'll get that to you tomorrow. So we can start booking events and things like that.
Great.
Well, I will just mention that
it's
more to... Sorry, may I finish? Thank you. There is more to than just a recreation coordinator. In the, they did talk about that during the rec commission, that having a rec coordinator would not be sufficient enough to for these events to come back. There's the, there's bigger issues with the lack of staffing within administration. So I just don't want anybody to think that if we suddenly put a rec, a 29-hour or whatever it is, person in that position, that suddenly everything's going to work and we'll be fine again. Thank you.
Madam President, just a quick question for Councilman Hallam. When I was chairman of the Recreation Commission, we really relied on the commission members as volunteers to step up for these events. And I know sometimes we would actually assign a rec commission member to run an event, make sure they were responsible for it. Our former fire chief, Rich Harmon, and I founded and started Winterfest, for example, along with another one of our rec commission members, Dan Phillip. Has there been any move on the part of the Recreation Commission to step up and volunteer in this time? Because I can tell you, I know the commission that I was on would have never canceled these events, and most of them were always put on primarily with volunteer work. That was kind of the idea behind the Recreation Commission. You're not really raising money for the city if you hire a lot of employees who cost more than the money that you raise. I know that Councilwoman Lenz knocked on every door in the city to not only recruit volunteers, but I mean every business's door in the city, but also to ask for donations. She raised many hundreds of dollars and prizes and gift cards for the city. I know it's an enormous amount of work, but the people who step up to serve in that commission kind of do so voluntarily. This is not about hiring employees. We really need to make sure that we come together as a community, we get the job done, because we're just hiring people to do it. The city will never raise any money for bleachers. We'll end up spending three times more than we take in, if that, and that defeats the purpose. We may as well just buy the bleachers. But the Rec Commission was always intended, and I was on there for 3 years, to be volunteers stepping up, working hard for their community, putting on events, raising money. I can tell you, if I were chair of Rec now, I would never have canceled these events, and I really hope you can go back and give that fire of volunteerism to them and remind them that from Mayor Wegger to Councilman Plechnik, we've had a lot of Rec chairs, and I don't think any of us would have presided over that.
Thank you for your comments, Councilman Plechnik.
So this is
I'm sorry, I meant to, I was going to turn to you. Can I finish? Because I didn't ask before. So keep in mind that in all of these prior commissions that Mr. Plechnik is speaking about, there was staffing at the Recreation Center that was there to answer questions, that was able to take applications, that was able to set up different things on for the commission members. Absolutely, the commission members volunteer. They volunteer at every commission event, and they still do. However, there has always been involvement from the city workers to help out in many capacities to make these events successful. And when to look at it this way, if you suddenly have no legs under you, it's kind of hard to get some of the things done that you might normally have done. So you need help, and we don't have those things. So thank you.
All right. So I have some things I'd like to share about the Recreation Commission. So this is segued into this. So I actually have the July minutes, and so one question I have. Unless this individual was at the last meeting, back in early March, Mayor Council had asked if you would seriously consider removing one of the members because of the inappropriate behavior at the town hall meeting. And this individual has attended the January and February meetings, and unless he came to the August meeting, he hasn't been there since. So is this person still on the commission or not? He's actually the vice chair.
He's still on the commission.
But he hasn't been to a meeting since February?
Yes.
Okay. In terms of the recreation coordinator's report, these minutes reflect that they're still lacking a recreation coordinator. And as Councilwoman Pismo said, that position has always been available. The funding is always available. And it's now fall, nearly. The other thing I picked up in the minutes was of the 280 fund from the Boys and Girls League. It says we need to find out from Frank Berkachek what funds are left. Joe has not gotten reports for several months now. So maybe Mr. Berkachek and possibly Mr. Walsh, because he's here this evening and he's chairman of REC, can find out that information for the commission. The other thing is that there was $1,500 NOPEC grant given to the Recreation Commission for events. And from these minutes, it says that Mr. Walsh will ask Mr. Berkachek to refund the allocated $1,500. Do you know if that's been done or that's been asked of yet, Mr. Berkachek?
No, it's not been refunded yet.
Okay. And I, including some other council members, would like to review that application if that's available for us to do from the grant. Additionally, they talked about the garage sale, and kudos go out to Sandy Grubas because she did an amazing amount of work for that in terms of making that a successful event. And as Councilman Hallam indicated, the Recreation Commission canceled the craft show, but yet in their minutes, about two lines later, it says revenue from the craft show is estimated at $3,000 a year, and it's one of the biggest moneymakers that we have. So if that's the biggest moneymaker, there may have been some consideration as how to reach out to volunteers to have this done. And I know the vendors love to come to Willoughby Hills to do that, and I know the residents and non-residents love to come to do it. So that may have been a consideration that may have been thought out a little more closely. In terms of the wellness run for the Cleveland Clinic and Classic, which is on Sunday, October 14th, the comment is made, we're in the absence of a recreation coordinator. I would encourage the Recreation Commission to work with the mayor, since this is an administrative appointment, and he has the funds to have a recreation coordinator there.
The and run is going to go on.
Well, that's good to hear then.
Okay.
And then my last point was made under new business, and I'm not sure if Mr. Walsh made this comment or not. It runs kind of congruent from what he stated in some of his comments. It said it would help if the Recreation Commission had the support of council. And I just put some thoughts down on this. Councilman Hallam is the chair of the Recreation Committee of Council. He attends the Recreation Commission meetings along with his wife, who sits on the Recreation Commission. As I've said three times, which is three times in these minutes, a recreation coordinator position is available, has been available. There, it is an administrative position, and the funds were budgeted in the 2018 budget. And while Sandy Grubas did an amazing amount of work for the garage sale, and I know Sandy's done a lot of other great things for the commission, especially the bleachers, kudos need to go to Councilman Fiebig as well, because he did a lot of work for that event as well. And council members do attend the Recreation Commission meetings, and we also attend the events. So I'm not sure what it means by it would be helpful if the Recreation Commission had support of council. So, just my thoughts. All right. Moving on from committees. Any other council representative reports? Okay. Then I will move on to public portion. This is an opportunity for the public to come forward to share their thoughts and concerns. We ask that you state your name and your address when you come forward for the record, and I will set the timer for 3 minutes. And I will open public portion at 7:49 p.m. Mr. Sahula.
At the public meeting from 6 to 7 that you had for charter amendments, you turned the meeting over to the public at 20 minutes after 7, after 6. You folks spent more time talking, not just answering questions, talking about the amendments, instead of listening to the public who came here to ask questions about it. From 6:45 to 7:05 to 7, 10 minutes, public was not allowed to speak because you folks were speaking instead of listening. And you only had time for one more person then.
Thank you.
Dario Coletta, 2601 Sam Sanders Road. Ladies and gentlemen, good evening. For three terms, the majority of Willoughby Hills residents have elected Mr. Robert Weger mayor. Why three times? Because he has been a good and able mayor, until his job was challenged to the point that he had to sue the city. And he was right to do so. As we can see, he won the case. At his last annual budget, he reported $270,000 deficit, but he had not cut 13 government positions and so on. Why force Tom Lobby to resign? He had been with us for a long time, and he was a good man. Why have the residents of Willoughby Hills go to pay their fines to the Willoughby Municipal Court? Isn't that money going out of our city coffer? Do you really think that rubbing Peter to pay Paul is going to work right? Is our city becoming a second-hand city? Thank you.
Thank you. Joan?
Marty Rodriguez, 3050 Rockefeller. I've been coming to a few meetings, and I've heard this from a couple, three different people over the last few years. You guys were elected as officials here, okay? The business of Willoughby Hills doesn't stop because of conflicts, okay? Everybody's got a conflict. You're all friends of mine. I consider you guys friends of mine. I don't have any enemies here that I know of. But the business of Willoughby Hills, the business running a city, is important, okay? It isn't because I got to do this, I got to do that, I miss that, blah, blah, blah. Okay, it's up to you guys to catch up. Okay, the world doesn't stop because if this guy has a conflict, that guy has a conflict, that guy has a conflict, nothing's ever going to get done. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Marty. Joan?
I shouldn't be here, but Joan Matuza, 28752 Chardon Road. I'm listening to this meeting, and I have two comments. One about recreation and one about planning. I was very involved in the Recreation Commission a few years back. We did the pancake breakfast. We did all the shopping. We went to the Costco. We went to Sam's. At that time it was Sam's because we used Sam's. Bought all the ingredients. We set the tables. We did the work. We set up the basket raffle for the pancake breakfast. The volunteers of the Rec Commission did the work. We didn't have someone plan everything and then just tell us, you can sweep the floor and you can wash the dishes. No wonder these people don't want to do anything. Let them do it. That's my comment. And I think, I don't know, and even before there was a group, the Recreation Commission, and I remember Dee Dallas and Madge Ciafani. They had dances for the elderly before they moved across the street. They baked cookies. They served coffee. They came and gave up their Saturday nights or Friday nights, and they took turns working it. We had no commission person running everything. We did it. And I just wonder what the commission people think their volunteerism is. I don't understand it. That's just my comment. My other comment is for the Planning and Zoning Commission. I'm sitting back there and I hear you're Lowens Plaza, number one, let's call it the Shops of Willoughby Hills. Everybody still calls it Lowens Plaza. They have a very bad, bad reputation. From the east side of Cleveland to the west side of Cleveland to the south side of Cleveland, you say you live near Lowens Plaza and they go, oh, poor you. Okay. The point of it is, I'm listening here and we have this plaza for Blood Plaza. And you're not concerned with the fact that you're lowering the level of you're not raising the band of that. You're not bringing in higher. You're just, and your comment was, you're not concerned about the fact that you're bringing in, I'm going to say riffraff, that's probably the wrong word, but you're not concerned about monitoring what you're bringing in. You're concerned about whether or not you're going to get the income tax for their wages. Now, what does that say about the Planning and Zoning Commission and the people who are serving the city? You're not serving it for the people. You're serving it for I don't know what. But it's very upsetting to live down there and to watch this and to watch that you do not care. All you want to do is fill the buildings. You don't care what you fill them with. And you're only making it worse because some other outfit or business that has a better standard or a better reputation, I want to say standard, better reputation, won't even come there because you are filling it with blood plasma places. Yeah, that's all I have to say.
Thank you, Joan.
Chris Welsh, 38801 Chartered Road. I don't know, remember the exact date earlier this summer when we had the planning meeting about the main issue was the plasma center. Not quite as many people that are here tonight, but of that group, I believe there was one person that commented, something's better than nothing. Nothing's better than that. Has the city ordered salt yet for the winter? And if they have, who do they go with their contract? The brush pile across the street, who's going to pay to move that out of there? To the engineer, that the manhole in question, is that a private property or is that in the right-of-way?
It's in the right-of-way.
So the city still, but it only affects Stratford?
Correct.
Well, the city still, I mean, like you say, if there's a homeowners association, the city is doing them a courtesy, but it's not the only manhole in the city, so... possibly just maybe put a little pressure on them to help. Maybe they'll split the cost. Who knows? And as far as the breakfast with Santa, I don't know how much Santa Claus charges for breakfast, but if you need somebody, call me.
Thank you, Chris. Vicki?
Vicki Miller, 2857 Hayes Drive. I'm sitting here kind of appalled about all the bashing that's been going on today, pointing a lot of pointing at fingers. I'm here just to stand up as a community. We all of us need to be part of the solutions. I understand the Recreation Commission's frustration with not having the support of the city with losing the positions. I have dealt with a lot of different organizations in my life, been on a lot of different committees, planning a lot of major events in different cities where I have lived. It's not possible to do a lot of these things just by the Recreation Commission volunteering. So let's stand up together as a community and start working together and volunteering. All of us. Thank you.
Thank you, Vicki. Frank, can you come back up?
I'd like to try and put an issue to rest for once and for all. When the Plasma Center first applied, Fred Weiss was still our building administrator. He approved their business and did it in writing. When they finally came back, Fred was gone, but they had their approval in writing. If we were to deny them, that would be Exhibit A in their lawsuit. Planning Commission did not approve it. They took it off their agenda because it had already been approved for once and for all. That's the story on the Plasma Center. Whether you like it or not, it was approved by the proper authority, and they had that in their bag of tricks. I don't, not tricks, but anyway, They had that waiting. If we were to deny them, that would be Exhibit A in their lawsuit. So we saved the lawsuit, and I don't know if it's caused any problems yet or not. So that's it.
Thank you, Frank. Linda.
Linda Fulton, 2990 Markham. I have a few things, and maybe this is premature, but I noticed that I believe the hiring of a law director is on the third reading tonight. Is that right?
Correct.
Third reading. What I want to know is, I'm sure you are all aware that we need a law director. And I don't feel comfortable going on much further without one. I don't know if anybody on this dais has met with Mr. Deemer. I remember Council President Fellows that she mentioned at one of the meetings that if you want to meet one-on-one with him, then do so. And my question is, has anybody done that? And if you have not, why not? We need a law director. I don't know his credentials or anything, but it doesn't seem like council is working on this, in my opinion. As far as I asked the mayor, why has it taken you so long to hire a rec coordinator? I, for one, am very disappointed that there is no craft show. I went every year and paid my money. That went towards the income for the city by those people renting the spaces. And to cancel all this stuff is ridiculous after all these years. And I'm with, you know, Mrs. Fellows, that, and everybody else. You know, the Rec Commission, anytime I've gone to these meetings, all they want to do is cancel things. They're not working, and I give great kudos to Sandy Grubish. I would say she works 100%, and she should be recognized for that. I don't understand it. When it's allocated, then why haven't you done it, Mr. Mayor? Why haven't you? It seems like the whole thing is in chaos, and you haven't done anything. You know, like, well, what's wrong with that picture? It's in the budget. You know, it makes look, what I think is that you're trying to make council look bad. You're trying to put the blame on council. I think we need to stop blaming people and start working together. It can be done. So I asked you, Mr. Mayor, in your last year of your term, are you going out with a bang, or are you going out as sour grapes? Thank you.
Thank you, Linda.
Cheryl Oda, 2960 Markham Boulevard. I just wanted to talk about the bashing tonight. I disagree as far as bashing. There are some things that need to be said. And as far as the building superintendent or manager, whatever you call him, maybe he has too much responsibility or too much that he's allowed to do. Because as far as approving that plasma place on his own before he ever met with the building and with planning and zoning and architectural, I think was very wrong. And that's a problem. And that same man approved a couple of other things. There's a house shoehorned in at the corner of Rockefeller and White Road. It is a flag lot. This is the only way to build on it. The frontage of the house is 35 feet from the front of the house to the street. I'd like to see another house in Willoughby Hills that's allowed to build 35 feet from the street. But because they rearranged the property, so they made the side of the house to the front of White Road 100 feet or 90 feet, whichever, which is permissible. But when Frank had to come along and give them an address, they got the address on Rockefeller, which, in my opinion, I've always been told that if your house faces on the street, that's the address you get. So to me, that faces on Rockefeller, and it's 35 feet. Plus, this is the same man who approved and practically gave away our residents' rights for that tower at the Grange. So I think maybe our building superintendent has too much power, and maybe some of that should be taken away for our next person that we get. Because if he gets us into these kind of problems where we can be sued because we don't like what they're doing when they finally come to the commission, there's something wrong with that.
Thank you, Cheryl.
The address I gave was removed by the auditor. The address it has now was given by somebody else.
You told me that you gave it. They came to you for it.
I did.
They came
to
you
for it. But they did away with it.
Anybody else this evening? All right, I will close public portion at 8:07 p.m. So, Frank, your comment about council speaking too much at the town hall meeting, we'll definitely take that in consideration. Last time, we actually started public to come forward at 6:14, but there were questions and dialogue between council and residents for clarity, but we can certainly look at the format for the next three meetings, so thank you for that. Let's see. Chris asked about salt. We did order some earlier this year. We'll have another one coming up.
We're filled up over the top right now, and that should hold us till next year.
Okay. And then the brush pile, I have actually had some residents ask, what's going to happen? Are they still going to do leaves this year? Which
we're going to do leaves, and we're going to haul it down
to Rock. Is it Wycliffe or Willoway?
Wycliffe.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Anybody else have any comments for the public portion that they want to finish up in unfinished business?
Madam President, to Mr. Sahula's comment, I am aware that our building commissioner, Fred Weiss, at the time indicated that he shared the same interpretation of the law as the business the Blood Plasma Center had. But my understanding is that the building commissioner, the building superintendent, doesn't have the power to actually approve projects. It really is the Planning and Zoning Commission that has that authority. So I don't see how he could bind the city. And I think that a reasonable business would know that a comment, even in writing from one city employee, doesn't mean it decisively is the law of that city. I agree that it puts the city at risk for an employee to make a statement like that and that he shouldn't have done so before consulting with the full Planning and Zoning Commission. But I disagree that that one statement and follow-up statements by our new city engineer bound the city to that position. I think we had a strong position to reject the Blood Plasma Center. And speaking as a resident who lives pretty darn close, I might live closer than anyone else in this room, I think we should have fought the cash for plasma business. And I think that we will, as it ultimately moves in. It hasn't yet, so I don't see it would cause problems at this point. But when it does move in and operate at full capacity, I think it will. will cause issues. I won't say names because I don't want to call people out who don't choose to speak in public themselves, but I had multiple firefighters from our own department call me up and say, I am part-time in other cities. I see other cash for plasma centers. There are serious issues. We have to bring our ambulances there all the time for people who give blood and then, you know, sometimes engage in other activities. And when you're low on blood and you consume alcohol or mood-altering drugs, that can have a bigger impact on you, and that is a huge practical expense. I'm not judging anyone. I'm just acknowledging that people without insurance very often frequent blood plasma centers, and if they're ill and need to be picked up, it's your tax dollars that pay for it. And that's a choice we make as a community. It's a choice I would have made a big no on, and I've certainly expressed that, but unfortunately, I feel like residents were shoehorned into this, and we didn't have any chance other than to state our objection because the decision was made before we were even told. And I don't think that was right, and I still hope that the Planning and Zoning Commission will revisit the issue and say no.
Madam President, and just to be clear, I did oppose the use of that, Joan. I did not want that in there, and I opposed it with everything that I could possibly do. The issue, though, that was brought up by a CPA and by others that, well, all right, now that they're coming in, what can we do to get revenue to perhaps mitigate some of the problems that might be created? So that's where it came from. I want you to know that I and I think all of council was not in favor of this, blood plasma donation center coming in. But we do have a master plan it probably should specifically say that blood donations for fee are a separate entity. I think I'm not speaking for him, but I think what Fred Weiss did is he just looked at the zoning code as it currently was written and said, blood donation, yeah, that fits under the B3 zoning, and sent him an email, and that was the end of it.
Permitted use,
right. And the issue was about, is it a permitted use or is it a conditional use that we would have to vote on?
Okay. Any other unfinished business this evening? All right. Then I'll move on to legislation.
Madam President.
Madam.
I'd like to move that we take an executive session to discuss personnel and what was the other thing, Mr. Mayor?
Proposal.
Business proposal. Is there a time limit we can put on this? No. Okay. Before legislation.
Second. I have a motion from Councilman Hallam and a second from Councilwoman Micah to adjourn into executive session to discuss a business proposal and personnel, inviting the mayor, all of council, with
yes.
No time limit. Is there any discussion on the motion? Vicki, call roll.
Leshnick.
Yes.
Bellows.
Yes.
Hebig.
Yes.
Hallam.
Yes.
Lenz.
Yes.
Micah.
Yes.
Pismo.
Yes.
We will adjourn to executive session at 8:13 p.m.